Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and that's the one where you get to ask whatever happens to be on your mind about your computer, connectivity, whatever happens in your digital world. We'd love to get a crack to help you. And we are loaded for bear today. We've got Bob Kane from Cyber with us, Tom Churchwell and Jason Dinkelman. They're all subbing in and ready to help you out with your problem at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. All we need is your question. Well, Gary, since our normal tech advisors, Ed's on his way to, he's probably in Grand Rapids.
I think so.
For a performance by his son, Talon, this evening. And Cal is out at one of his ice skating competitions. So we have loaded, we're loaded for bear here. We have got lots of folks in here to help us answer questions this afternoon.
And you know, I've been so blessed working with so many different people that it's just fun. And I have three people that I've worked with over the years. Ed Gale, Jason Dinkelman, you going to stick around and help us answer some questions?
I will attempt to answer some questions.
All
as
right,
long as
great.
Not about Minecraft.
Okay, okay, good. And Jason, who do you work for now?
Currently, I'm a developer with the Pillar Technologies out of Ann Arbor.
Okay, good. So, yeah. A good partner to have. We're going to partner with them again to help us
out
from cyber. So
nice.
And speaking of cyber, Bob Kane, you and I just started working together.
Yes.
Whoop, we're going to press a button. Let's go ahead and press the on button.
Nope, the other side.
There it is, hiding behind your laptop. There we go. We got it on.
Oh, there we go. There I am.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, I've been with cyber for 10 years and with Ford Motor Company for 27 prior to that.
Wow.
And graduate of Lawrence Technological University.
LTU.
All right.
That's right.
All right, wonderful.
Electrical engineering. I didn't like computers when I went to school.
Well, they were a little different than they are today, right?
turned in our projects on punch cards.
Yeah. And that big room full of computers now fits in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
So,
isn't that something? Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, Tom Churchwell, we worked together at Gale, and you're now at Leading Agile.
Leading Agile, yeah. I'm an enterprise transformation consultant. Easy for me to say.
Yes. And we had you and Jason on talking about Agile and Beyond conference last hour. So we'll all see you in a couple weeks for doing that. So.
Yep. And this hour, we've gathered all this intellectual might and, I should say, probably experience as well with computers to help you answer your questions. And again, you know, we've said this in the past, but the mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And our numbers, our lines are open right now at 800-859-0957. We're hoping to be able to break our audience of the habit of waiting until the end of the program to ask questions.
Well, and we always like to start out with a couple easy ones, right? Something we can answer, you know, that we don't mind trying to tackle the tough ones also, but the easy ones, it allows us that when we get to answer a question from somebody that calls in, allows us to really help a lot of other people that said, oh, I wish I'd asked that question, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're one of those people that says, oh, I wish you'd ask that question, call us and ask it, and we'll help you.
Okay, good. We've got some folks starting to call in right now, but there's plenty of room for you at 800-859-0957. Another way of saying that is 800-859-0WJR. And it could be a question about a PC. Now, are any of you on Macs? Either?
Sure, okay. I am.
All right.
I don't know why I'm raising my hand.
That's right.
Yeah, a whole bunch
wrong
of
medium.
People in the audience. Yeah, we're raising their hands too. So Jason actually is what they call a UX expert. So it's a user experience. And what does that entail today?
Lots of things, basically making sure that the software that we develop works for users in a nice, convenient way, making sure the things are in the right spot and easy to find.
All right. By the way, we got our first caller in here. And I'd like to say hello to Danielle Mason, who is our engineer right now. Thank you very much for being. And for the man who is our board op supreme, Eric Dorch, who is just wrapping up 13 hours here.
Holy
so
cow.
God bless him for being. I've run some of those.
Duty.
I've run some of those shifts myself. But thank you very much, Eric,
weather.
For setting things up. Yeah. You still got some of the weather outside to enjoy. But Danielle, thank you very much for joining us. And Logan Stantifer is our producer as well. All right, let's go to Dave in Dearborn. Dave, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What's your question for our group?
Yes, hello. My question is, I have a Sony computer, a desktop computer, and it's a touchscreen, but my mouse seems to lock up all the time. And like nothing else, when I use a touchscreen, everything works okay. But for whatever reason, my mouse like is really slow, and it doesn't move when I want it to move, right?
So are you using a wireless mouse where you put the little dongle into the USB port? Is that
That's correct.
Okay. And do you know how to adjust the mouse settings?
Yeah, I went into the settings a few times and tried playing with different things, but it's not 100% time when it does this, but it seems like it bogs down every once in a while.
What operating system are you running, by the way, just in case?
I just updated up to whatever the latest Windows is.
Windows 10?
Or whatever.
You're running Windows 10. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Tom?
A lot of times I look at the physical layer first. It's amazing sometimes if you just take that mouse, flip it upside down, and have you ever taken the ball out and kind of cleaned everything off below it? Because you can get this gummy stuff that causes the ball to stick.
Yeah.
Or even if it's a laser, it's the same thing too. You'll on the ridges underneath the mouse. If you clean all that off, a lot of that stuff will work a lot better. Not saying that's it.
Okay.
But there's one thing to look at.
So
it is a laser one, and like you say, I never really I looked at it before and kind of with my finger wiped it, but. Not cleaned it with the tissue or whatever.
Like a Q-tip or something?
Yeah, I've used a Q-tip.
Yeah, so the other thing,
a little alcohol on it, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing to consider as well is depending on what color your desktop is or if you use it on the same spot, if it's black, sometimes it's a problem. Try a mouse pad. Yep. Sometimes that works out a little better.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you use a mouse pad, Dave?
It's like a wood surface, and I don't have a mouse pad on it.
Yeah, I found different surfaces react differently to those type of mouses.
Same thing.
They reflect the laser differently. So.
I've also found that I've used some mice, and they work great. Mm-hmm. Other ones, they just happen to do that, right? And I throw it away and get another one. They're cheap, and then I don't
check
have
the
a
battery
problem,
too.
So. And the battery.
Yep. Yeah, checking the battery as well. Dave, thanks so much for your call. Hope that those are some ideas to give you a little hand there for that as well.
Thanks for calling.
Ben, we'll be back with you from Adrian in just a moment. And for the rest of you, our number is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. We'd love to hear from you. We've got lots of folks here to help dig into your problem. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. And I want to thank once again our folks who are in studio here, Jason Dinkelman, Bob Kane, and Tom Churchwell. We are loaded for bear today with people here to help you with your questions. And the number is 800-859-0957. And an old friend of ours is on the line here, Ben Carpenter, the gentleman farmer from Adrian. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing fine, Foster. How about you?
Doing very well. Glad to have you on the air with us on a beautiful spring day like this. How can we help you?
Well, I don't have a question, but I got a couple of comments.
Sure.
Oh, good.
Sure.
In the past, you've talked about autonomous cars, and in the first hour, you were talking about a flying car.
Yes,
and I'm in favor of both of them. After having used the GPS stuff and the farm equipment mm-hmm. for several years, and auto steer and running the sprayer and running the corn planter, so forth and so on, I just don't know how I would do it without it.
Yeah.
And anything that you have, you're going to have to get it on the road or mm-hmm. in the field, whatever the situation is, to find the bugs in it.
Yep.
You're not going to find the bugs ahead of time.
Yeah.
You're going to find some bugs when you get it on actually using it.
Yeah.
Finding
a bug in midair is a little bit different,
though.
There
you go. but, you know, you've...
That's right. And finding a bug in the office with a computer trying to set up the program for the thing, you ain't going to find it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to use it to find it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about how precise that can be and how imprecise as humans we are, I do recall going out to a friend's farm and helping, and I did this for quite some time, and knowing that I just went down and plowed a row so absolutely straight and turned around and saw this wavy line behind me and saying, I wonder who did that, because I know I was straight. And, you know, today you can do that because GPS helps you do it, right?
That's right. I find it with the, particularly with a combine with a 30-foot head and the GPS stuff, I'm accurate all the way across the field, back and forth, several times, and the same field. And it doesn't, I leave a little strip on each side about 3 or 4 inches, but that's a whole lot easier than trying to drive it by hand.
Hey, Ben, tell folks, how old are you?
I'll be 79 the end of this month.
79 the end of this month. You've
still
been
going strong.
It's still going strong. What I love about it is that Ben, we tease him about being our gentleman farmer, but he is into technology. He's incredible. He has been with us for any number of years, and we've talked with him about the different technologies that are involved. Ben, I got to move on. We got a couple other people we want to talk to as well, but thanks so much for giving us a call.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care, Ben. Good, always good talking to you. And Ben's from Adrian, Michigan, and has been using technology in any number of different ways. It's fascinating. All right, Damon is with us from Beverly Hills. Damon, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, how you guys doing, my friend? I'm calling in regards to some search engine optimization, as the helpful operator lady had put it.
Yep.
I'm curious on... I know if, you know, search something on, you know, normal Google or Yahoo, you know, the most paid for internet search comes up first. Is there a way, you know, is there a better search engine out there that's, you know, less controlled and less filtered? There's too much filtering going on there. How do we escape from and get sort of, you know, free-based internet instead of what, you know, we're
instead of paying for it?
See?
Yeah, we could always pay for it.
Okay.
Well, you could pay by the search.
Right.
I tell you what, you know, I started using DuckDuckGo, and it's really easy to use it. And if I wanted to switch to Google, all I do is hit the bang sign, you know, the exclamation point, bang G, IMG, and then I'll get images, or bang G, and it'll go to Google for me. But basically, it doesn't, I think it's much better.
Do you know,
there you go.
Did you get that, Damon? That was DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo. Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, there's another one. I mean,
well, there's about 300 different searches.
Lord,
I mean, how do you rate a good one?
That's a very good question. I guess in terms of the accuracy of...
One of the best is Google. And the way they make it free for you is by having ads at the top. Just scroll down past the ads.
And tracking what you do and what you put in there. And that's... DuckDuckGo doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that, yeah. But I mean...
They say they don't do it.
They say they don't do it.
But from the algorithm standpoint, they do a pretty good job of bringing up the most relevant search terms.
Jason, did you have the other one?
Current. You know, it's not recent. They're not always recent. They're not always, you know,
well,
up to date.
Maybe not with the ads, but I think beyond the ads is when their optimization kicks in. And the ads are there just because they need to make money and keep it going so that they can provide that to us for free.
Have you tried Bing?
I appreciate you guys.
Have you tried Bing, by the way, just before you take off, Damon? Have you tried Bing?
I think Bing's a pretty good one. I found a search engine called Yippee. That seems to be pretty cool.
I haven't tried that one.
Tell me, well, how do you spell that?
Y-I-P-P-Y? Yippee, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look for it. Yippee. Y-I-P-P-Y. Yeah. Okay. I had not heard of that, but... There's any number of different search engines that are out there, and I guess just try them and see which ones, you know, come up with the best answers for you. But as Gary was saying, get beyond the ads on Google, and they do identify them as ads,
right?
Which is good for business. Thanks, Damon.
Yeah,
thanks for giving us a call.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Damon.
Jonathan from Brighton, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. I'm not very computer savvy, you might say, but I get some emails from investment companies, and recently when I tried to download the information, desktop and documents comes up on the screen, and I can't get rid of it.
Now, tell me again, what do you say? What comes up on the screen? Now, this is when you're trying to download something from a...
download an email...
okay.
from an investment company.
Okay.
And when I put the cursor on there yeah. and punch that, nothing happens. There's this desktop and documents. It says save or cancel. Well, if I hit save, mm-hmm. it just says you've already saved it. And if I hit cancel, it goes off the screen, but I've tried to download again, and it just comes up same desktop again. Mm-hmm.
So when you say save, do you look yeah. on the bottom of the computer screen? You'll see just above the taskbar, there's a little ribbon, and the name of the file will be there on the left-hand side. And then if you do it again, there'll be two of them. And if you do it again, there'll be three. Sometimes people miss that. And it did download, and it told you it downloaded, but it's in that little ribbon. Have you noticed that at all?
Where's the little ribbon?
It's right down on the bottom of the screen, just above what the taskbar that's always there. And it should be gray. You're using Windows 10?
Yes, yeah,
okay.
right.
Yes, okay. It should be on the bottom down there. The other thing you might try doing is this, Jonathan, is to right-click. Put your cursor on that email and right-click yeah. on it, and it should give you options then. And one of them should be download. You click on that, and it should download it to your download file. And that's where you should find all these things.
To go to that download folder then.
In the download folder. Does that make sense to you? I tell you what.
Now I have it up here.
Okay, I tell you what, Jason. We're going to put you on hold for a second, and we'll come back in just a moment. Thank you so much for joining us here at hour number two of the Internet Advisor. We're in studio. We have Bob Kane with us from Cyber and Tom Churchwell, who is here as well, helping us to answer questions. And the number, as you heard the young lady say, is 800-859-0957. And I beg you, please, don't wait until the very end of the program to call us with your questions, because unfortunately, we don't get you on the air if we get you in here too late. So please just give us a call right now at 800-859-0957, and we will get you on the air as quickly as we possibly can. Okay, we're going to go back to Jonathan from Brighton for just a moment. Jonathan, I know Gary was talking with you for a little bit. Let's see if anybody else has any other thoughts. As a matter of fact, I think, Bob, you had some thoughts on helping to find these downloads.
Yeah, if you know how to get into the Windows Explorer in Windows 10, when you run that, it brings up on the left-hand side, there will be a thing called Quick Access, and one of the items in that list will be downloads.
Jonathan, do you know how to get to the Windows Explorer in Windows 10?
I'm not sure. You know what? I think I better wait till a friend of mine gets home. He's away, and he can help me on this. I just thought I'd give you a call, but I'm not sure what I'm doing all the time.
Now that's quite all right. I understand that, Jonathan.
And what we think happens is that the first time you did download it,
yeah.
and then when you tried it the second time, it said, hey, you've already downloaded it.
Yeah.
And I think what you have to do now is figure out where that you downloaded it and how to access it.
I see.
Okay,
well,
Jonathan.
I'll have a friend come over sometime and
good.
Help.
Good. It's always good to have a friend come over and give you a hand. I want to get back to something, though, Bob, that you mentioned. And we have a lot of our listeners who are using Windows 10. And for some people, that's really tough, especially when they made the move from Windows 7, you know, to Windows 10. But one of the things that you just mentioned, Bob, it was important, is that on the bottom left-hand side, there's a window there, which is essentially where you can type in anything you want. That'll lead you to the Explorer. And so you could put, for instance, you go to that little window and type in downloads, it'll show you where that is. Or, Bob, you were saying it'll bring up the entire list, right?
Yeah, you can scroll down the list and find it that way also.
Right, exactly.
I actually pinned it to my taskbar.
So you got a shortcut.
So it's always available.
Right. Yeah. It's a great one to put in there. All right, let's see. We have, I think, the name is Basim from Troy. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Did I get the name right?
Yes, Basim here.
Okay, very good.
How are you?
Very good. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question about wireless routers. I'm looking for one that I'm more interested in the security of the router.
Mm.
So I want to know if there is any, and if there is no really secure wireless routers, whether using VPN with it will circumvent the problem of the lack of security.
Tom, you have some thoughts?
I always have thoughts about security. Getting the latest routers are really powerful. It's incredible what you can do, and you get multiple channels with them, so you get a lot of throughput. Yeah. I do like getting your own VPN, right? Utilizing a VPN, even at home, it's incredible. And now with as much throughput as we have, the lag isn't as bad. Like, it used to be really bad to have your own VPN, right? Because there was so much misdirection.
Let's back up for a second. What is a VPN
for people? A virtual private network.
So okay.
You can actually download software that allows you to have your own virtual private network
at
home.
And it's free,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
So you Google virtual private network.
I have Opera, and using Opera. Yeah, using Opera, you can use a VPN, and that real... Sorry. Yes, I'm a pilot. I talk with my hands. What can I say?
You know? It's okay.
I'd say get a VPN at home.
Okay.
Hello.
I was also going to suggest for added security, I have my wireless set up, so you can't access it unless I type a MAC address into it.
Oh, that's
so
a cool. Wow.
Do MAC filtering. Uh-huh. Yeah. So even if you know my password, you can't connect to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So you can get really deep on security with these new routers.
And the new routers they're all the same front end, so it's 802.11, and you want to get an AC. That's the newest, and actually AC Wave 2 is the brand newest, but they're still expensive. But if you get an AC router, you could do either one of the suggestions, the get a virtual private network software that Tom mentioned or Bob mentioned, use a MAC address. You can do that with just about any brand, right? I don't know of a brand you can't do that with.
I've used Linksys and Netgear.
Right. Well, I was going to say, do you have any brands that you favor?
I like Linksys, yeah. Myself.
Linksys?
Yeah.
Boston, Linksys is one that both of these people, that's been a standard for a long time for people for routers. And you can buy, in terms of routers, you can go from something very simple to the MIMO, M-I-M-O, which has got many antennas on it and will help you to get the very best signal through, you know, throughout your house. Do you have a large area that you're going to be using?
Not really. But I'm not interested in putting a lot of money into a router. So I want to know if to get a secure one, do you have to spend a lot of money?
What do you think, Pat?
No, the security should be available on all the models.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, on pretty much all
you
of them.
You can go cheaper than the AC, too. You can get the step back to, you know, the previous version.
I think it was
That'll be cheaper.
Yeah. I'll give you one tip, though. When you go to set it up in your room, what you want to do is keep it isolated from all the other stuff. Like if you've got a cable modem in there, keep them apart. It's incredible the interference that can get produced if you have that stuff close together. Right. So just a tip there.
You don't have to spend a fortune. But you're going to spend, you're going to spend about $100 for a decent, or a little bit more than that for a decent modem. Now, you can go up to spending at 300 something for it, but I don't think that's necessarily, you're not going to necessarily get a quantum leap in security when you do that kind of thing.
Okay.
Maybe a little more adaptability to it. Does that answer your question, Boston?
Yeah, it is, because I was reading a lot of articles on the internet showing how many security problems all the routers have, especially at the consumer level.
Ah, well, what are the kind of problems that you were seeing?
Like, they're talking about being easily hacked, and I mean, I don't know all the details, the technical details, but they're easily hacked, and you can people can really spy on you when you're using them.
No, well, I would imagine, Bob, that your approach of putting you have to put a MAC address in there is going to be a level of security that. Not going to be hacked by many people.
That and make sure you change the default password for
them. Yeah. Oh, that is a very... Thank you for saying that.
And to a strong password, because that's the weakest link in any security program that you have is the password.
Yeah, what Bob mentioned is so important. I've seen some articles in it recently that people will go with just admin, which may be what comes to you from the factory. And that's the...
The first thing you do.
Yeah, that's the very first thing you do when you get it, Boss, and whatever you get is...
Change the password.
Change that password.
Now, I have a little question if you have time.
Sure, sure.
When I was looking at some of the instructions for different ones, they always tell you to log in, and the login is usually HTTP. And I wonder if you're doing the login and you're changing the password, somebody could spy on you since it's not a secure connection.
Oh, it's not HTTPS.
No, they're all HTTP.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I found the SS has HTTPS, but I don't know if it can be used for that, for the login or no.
You could probably set up that password before you even connect it to your cable modem, so that it's not actually on a network. It's just a cable between your computer.
They all need you to be on the network, on the internet to do it. You can't do it offline.
No,
not actually on the internet. It's just a web interface into the router. But just a cable between your computer and the router itself
yep.
would work. You don't need to have it on the internet.
So did you understand that, Boston?
So when you're logging in, you're not actually getting on the internet?
Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because you're not connected to the modem, which connects the internet. So unconnect that.
You just have the cable, as Bob was saying, so you just have a cable then between your modem and your computer. And when you're doing that, you're not on the internet. That
however... Yeah. You know, you're doing this pretty quickly. So you connect them and then you immediately change the password. It's pretty hard for the bad guys to kind of find you that quickly. I know they can do it quickly sometimes, but that's pretty difficult. That would be unusual. Very unusual.
It would be very unusual if they were, you know, just kind of waiting for that opportunity.
The VPN issue, is it like secure? Like if you use it even on the public Wi-Fi, is it secure enough that nobody can hack into it?
Secure enough is an interesting word, right? I mean, so I'm not Snowden, so, and he would tell you that nothing is secure enough unless it's in a safe at the bottom of the ocean. So I guess it's all relative. Yes, I mean, it's... So the thing is, I mean, always something can get broken into. It's a matter of, is it worth it at some point, right? When you've got enough barriers in place, someone's going to go to the next person who has no barriers.
Yeah, right.
Gary has used the analogy of people coming down a street and trying back doors to see if one's unlocked.
And if you're on a VPN, the likelihood
they're going to pass you and go to somebody that's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I have to be lucky.
Yeah, well,
well, but beyond that, you would have to be horribly unlucky to get hacked at that particular point.
Somebody really wanted to get into your network, and they were targeting you, and they were willing to spend a lot of time and effort to try to find. But I don't even know then if they would be able to get into a VPN.
That's pretty tough.
It's pretty tough. I don't know of any. They just usually find some other way in.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Boston, thank you for your questions.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah,
you made us think.
Tapped on a number of things. Again, the number is 800-859-0957. We're going to be wrapping up in about 15 minutes, so this is a good time for you to get in here with your question. And we do have our lines open right now, and would love to be able to take your question at 800-859-0957. We got a great deal of talent here. Guys, with VPNs, who are you connecting with when you get VPN? That's creating a tunnel to someplace. Where is it a tunnel to?
Well, it depends on which one you get. So there are some VPNs that redirect to different places so that you can't get there, right? So that you don't know, and that's kind of the point, right? So you don't know and they don't know.
I see.
And that's kind of why they do it that way, right? So it depends.
So
you got a VPN, though. I mean, when we originally started creating the VPNs, they were like in the networks that we were building at the, you know, at whatever organization it was, and that was internal to the organization. You wanted to have different levels of quality of service for different people, and then you could use a VPN to kind of segment out the network so that different systems could get higher throughput. Or there's a whole host of reasons that you want to virtualize your networking.
You know, and we're talking about a lot of the ways that systemically, right, using technology, we can protect you. But the we know that kind of the easiest way in is either one, you know, because you have a very poor password, easy to break, or two, they just con you. Right?
Social
it's
networking.
Called, yeah, so, called yeah. phishing,
social engineering.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, social engineering. Yeah.
Yeah.
Social networking. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, they're playing with you on the networks.
But so talk about passwords. Or actually, we're wrapping up this segment.
Well, I'll tell you what we do. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Let's talk about passwords in just a minute. I'm interested to get your perspectives on that for both of you. Our experts in studio are Bob Kane from Cyber, and Tom Churchwell is with us as well. And we do still have some time to answer your questions. So if you've got a burning question about your computer or about the network getting on it, whatever happens in your digital world, we'd love to take a crack at helping you with that. 800-859-0957 is our number, and we're going to be wrapping up shortly, so make sure you get your call into us this week. I'd like to thank our board operator, Danielle Mason, for being with us. Thank you so much, Danielle. And Eric Dorch, who was handling the first hour and set things up for this hour, thank you as well to the board op supreme. He insisted we call him that. I think after 13 hours, he gets to. He can
call,
name that.
We'll call him anything he wants.
Logan Stanifer, our producer, is, as a matter of fact, busy taking a call right now. We'll have it up in just a moment. So thank you to her. And to our folks who have been in studio with us, helping to answer questions, Bob Kane, Tom Churchwell, and Jason Dinkelman with his son, Evan, who was with us as well. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, guys, just quickly before we get to our call, which is being set up right now, and we still have time for your call as well, as 800-859-0957. How do you handle passwords? Because for me, now I use something called LastPass, which is a password locker, essentially, that is on both my desktop and it's on my phone as well. And so I have one password that I use to get into that, and it stores all the rest of mine. What do you use, Bob Kane?
I use, it's called KeePass. It's an app that's available in the portable app suite, which you can install on a thumb drive. So I carry it with me. So I don't have it stored on any of my computers. I just have it on a thumb drive.
What happens if you lose the thumb drive?
Then I'm in trouble. I have a copy.
Oh. I would imagine. You have a few of them. So the way it works then is that stores your passwords.
Yeah, it's a little database program. You create categories and put an entry in. Okay, this is my work password. Mm-hmm. And I, when I say that, I actually have probably a dozen work passwords,
right,
because of all the multiple systems at work, and not,
sure,
all of them will even allow the same password syntax.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And then there's, you know, banking, credit cards,
sure,
different forums, and
you certainly don't want the same one used for different ones, because if they break into one, they get
correct
your passwords for everything else, right? So
yep,
what
try,
do you do?
Try and use different passwords for the different things, so that if you know my work password, it won't get you into my bank account.
So that was, again, KeePass?
KeePass.
KeePass.
And Tom, what do you do?
I could tell you my password strategy, but then I'd have to kill you.
Okay. So please don't tell us.
How do you handle the number of passwords you need?
It's almost impossible. Yeah, it's terribly hard, isn't it? I mean, for everybody it is. And
yes.
I think you're right. Getting a system that allows you to not have to memorize everything, and it can be
two-factor authentication.
Two FA.
Yeah, Doug Song has a really great company called Duo Security out in Ann Arbor that he's going to be speaking at Midwest Technology Leaders Conference on Wednesday. But one of the best two-factor authentication companies and technologies in the world here.
RSA. I mean, there's so many different ways to try and do some. But definitely trying to memorize everything is crazy.
Yeah, can't do it.
Okay. Let's go to our next guest up here, DJ from Detroit. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Good, good. I have a question. If I'm in a place like a hotel or McDonald's where they have free access to their Wi-Fi.
Right, public Wi-Fi hotspot. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can they monitor my activities on my computer?
Indeed they can.
Hmm.
Again, I come back to Opera VPN, and if you're utilizing that, even if you're in a public space like that, as long as you don't have people behind you watching what you're doing, that kind of thing, you're going to be in a much better position security-wise.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily always mean that they're doing that. But you just have to be very careful. You have to be more secure, and you have to be more security-minded, right, Bob?
Yes.
So they can monitor my activities. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, you can have a third man in the middle kind of an attack where somebody, for instance, could pretend to be the hotspot for McDonald's, and they aren't. Uh-huh. But you sign on thinking that you've gotten the hotspot for McDonald's, and you haven't. You've gotten them, and they've essentially spoofed you, and then they're just, you know, picking up your keystrokes as you go through. So that's why when you're traveling, this would be a great reason to have a VPN.
It is. Yeah.
A very good reason to have one.
You know, I mean, there's so many sophisticated ways for people to do stuff. I agree. You know, the question is not if we're paranoid, but are we paranoid enough? I'll tell you. Because there's keystrokes you were talking about. They have folks that sit down and they have things that can actually detect just remotely what your keystrokes are. Yes, that's right.
Wow.
So yes, it's not, and I'm not trying to make anybody scared or anything. I'm just saying that it behooves you to take precautions.
One of the richest men in the world, Larry Ellison from Oracle, said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
So even if you have a hotel, you can't assume privacy when you're in a hotel.
I don't think you can assume privacy anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing something like what the guys have been talking about, what Tom's been talking about with the VPN, then you can assume a certain amount of privacy at that particular point. Because you've created a tunnel for yourself.
You can assume you're safer. And
yeah, that's the point. Good point.
Well, what's a VPN? I'm sorry, I don't know what a VPN is.
It's called Virtual Private Network. So VPN just stands for Virtual Private Network. And I like one. It's called Opera. And
that's the browser Opera?
Yeah. Well, they have a VPN attached to it.
Oh, okay. Opera is a browser that has a VPN attached to it. Okay. Otherwise, you could go on, for instance, and just Google for VPN.
Yes.
And
find there's lots of
and a lot of them are free.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are. Opera is. Opera's free.
I'm curious, Bob. Do you use VPNs?
Not for personal use. I have some I use for work.
Right, I do too.
Yeah, some VPNs for work, but I don't use them personally. I guess I'm not paranoid enough.
And I don't use them either.
I would imagine.
I do get on from hotels, and I do get on from other public networks. But I say it's a public network, and my security, because I've set up my security on my computer, whenever I'm on a public network, my security is very high.
I don't use it at home.
Yeah. You don't. Okay.
You don't use the VPN at home.
No, I don't.
Gary, I'm curious. You're saying, because I know you travel a tremendous amount.
Right.
So how do you get around that? By setting your security really high? What do you mean by that?
I just set all my security levels higher so that there's some sites I can't get to. And that's okay because I don't want to get to them. But there's some things that just, you know, when you go into your security settings, you can set those up at very secure. Where
you mean in your browser? Really, are you talking about in your browser?
Browser and your security settings in your computer.
Oh, okay.
Right? In Windows 10.
Oh, in Windows 10 as well. Okay. There's a way of setting a really high. All right. And that is a way of protecting yourself as well. Did you hear that, DJ, then?
Yeah, so when you do it, you can't necessarily expect privacy when you're doing your bank account. You're looking at your bank account online. You can't expect privacy then.
So there's a very good point. I never go to my bank account when I'm on a public network, ever.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Because if they break into something that I don't care about as much, okay. But I don't want anybody to have a keylogger that could possibly stand up or a man in the middle, as Foster was saying, you know, on my bank account.
So it just...
I don't even have that much in it.
I'm sorry, say again.
You don't take activities on your banking account or anything like that?
I'm sorry, say that again, please. I missed that.
So you don't check your activity on your bank account every once in a while?
Well, I use online banking, but I don't do it from a public network. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's the key point. Yeah. If you're at home and you've got security there.
Or my business.
Or your business, again, you can set your levels of security really high, but I would never go on to a public Wi-Fi outlet, a hotspot, and do my banking if I possibly could.
I see.
There would have to be a pretty dire situation to do that. Okay, DJ?
Okay, thank you.
All right, my friend, thank you very much for giving us a call. And thanks for all of you who have given us a call during the program today. And that was some really good stuff. By the way, Yippee YIPPY.com is a search engine. I didn't know.
Yeah, there's like 300 search engines.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned that during the program today. It's YIPPY, and you can look into that. It says the Educator's Choice for Search. So there's all sorts of them out there that you can look into, DuckDuckGo or any number of the other ones. Guys, I want to thank you very much. Bob, thank you so much. Bob Kane for with us. It's been a pleasure having you here. Tom Churchwell, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having
me. We have safely landed the program with you at the helm here.
And Ron and Kay Stefanski, I'm going to come over and meet Bill Cobbs shortly.
Take care.